if the British Empire and its Commonwealth last for 1,000 years, men will still say this was their finest hour.
We stand for Queen,
country, and video games. BRB UK.
Worse teeth,
better accents.
Hello, and indeed ahoy hoy, and welcome back to me. I'm Dan, this is BRB UK, this is a podcast, you're listening, yes you are. And Coleman's also here, aren't you?
Hi, it's me, I'm Coleman. Is that how we introduce ourselves now? Is that how we do this?
Yep, he's Subby, Coleman.
Also, hi, it's me, not Tim.
Yeah, hey, Mr. Not November.
We sent Tim on assignment, to which he then didn't go on assignment,
but bizarrely sent his laptop to that assignment.
So Tim's laptop is now on assignment, so therefore he can't do a podcast, but he might be on later.
Right,
so we have to get as much of this done as possible before that happens.
Excellent. So we are, and dear God, yes, there is a lot to get through.
Sorry,
some of which is a bit elephant in the room tastic, so we're gonna start with that.
Yes. Tragedy has struck, and it's kind, yeah, as you alluded to, elephant in the room type situation. There's nastiness to this story that we don't quite know how to handle due to the kind of sensitive nature of things, but the kind of headline that we've got as it was reported is Alec Holoka, who was one of the developers on Night in the Woods, he took his own life last week. Mm. But the other story to this is that there's been some speculations online and accusations of rape allegations towards Alec. And this seems like this caused Alec to end up being dropped by his own developer label to then taking his own life, it seems. And his sister, Eileen Holoka, who's also a developer in her own sense, she's been on Twitter to sort of give tributes to her own brother, but kind of, I don't know, she kind of points to that there might have been something going on that she also knew about, but not to use this to, you know, use his death to go and start harassing people and be kind to people and stuff. So it's a very kind of muddled story at the moment, and it's one that's very difficult to cover, especially for us who are on the outside looking in, kind of thing.
It's very difficult, this, because, and as Alec's sister Eileen said, you know, he has caused people distress, and there's no getting away from that. And he clearly was not a well chap. Not that that absolves anything.
No.
I think what it shows is that in life, you come across people from all backgrounds. Everyone has their own hang-ups. Everyone has their own issues. There are some people who have extreme issues and can, as a result of those, if they're not getting the appropriate help, hurt others around them and may not necessarily appreciate the harm they're doing to others. If you know a person like this, it's important that if it's safe for you to do so, help them to get help. If it's not safe for you to do so, distancing yourself from that person and not getting sucked into it is probably the right thing to do for you. I don't know the specifics around this case, nor really is it any of my business. It's clearly desperately sad that things got so bad that he, harmed is a strong word, but made life, kind of caused people great distress around him, and was obviously distressed himself and took his own life as a result. None of these things are good, okay? None of these things. But the long and short of it is that there's nothing good about this.
No, there are no winners on either side.
Nor should this be spun to imply there are winners and losers.
We needed to touch, yeah, we all had a chat about this behind the scenes. Me and Tim were talking about this off mic last week, trying to see, and it was fairly new news at the time, so we didn't really know how to approach this. We wanted to wait a little bit, see how things developed. Unfortunately, things developed into, you know, the most extreme possible outcome, which is suicide. And we've done a little covering, we spoke about it. If you do get depressive thoughts, you go speak to someone. Suicide is never the answer. It's a long-term solution to a short-term problem, potentially. So that's the horrible news out the way. We're going to move on and get to more
yes
friendly and happy things, video games that we like to talk about. And there is no friendlier, happy place in the world of video games, Dan, than Nintendo.
Yeah, I love Nintendo.
They're like the Disney of video games.
Without the borderline Nazi gold. yes.
Without the anti-Semite founder.
Yeah. Anti-Semitism and not the Nazi gold.
Nazi gold.
Yes. And something that happened in this direct that made me very, very happy, that we kind of, I think, we talked about this when the filing for one of the, I think it was the FCC, that showed, hey, look, here's some Super Nintendo, wireless Super Nintendo controllers that might work with the Switch. You were like, yeah, we're getting Super Nintendo games on Virtual Console or whatever it's called these days. And we are! Woohoo!
Yes, Nintendo Direct lasted about 40 minutes. There was lots of stuff to unpack from this, but I just kind of took the highlights. SNES we'll start off with. There are 20 games that are launching today, in fact. I checked just before we started recording. They haven't added them to the lineup yet, so I'm assuming that that's going to be a closer to midnight type thing. But we get 20 games, Dan, and that includes Brawl Brothers, Demon's Crest.
Love it.
Joe and Mac 2, Lost in the Tropics, which...
Not really been on my radar before, but I'll take it.
Well, you never played Joe and Mac Caveman Ninjas.
I must have done. I must have done, but it doesn't...
I didn't know there was a sequel, but Kirby's Dream Land 3, Star Fox...
Dream Harder.
Yes. Dream Fast, Dream Furious. Super EDF, Earth Defense Force, Super Mario Kart. Super Mario Kart 2, Yoshi's Island, Super Puyo Puyo 2, Super Tetris, Breath of Fire, which is cool because I just started playing Breath of Fire 3 again.
Hey!
F-Zero, Kirby's Dream Course, Pilot Wings, Stunt Race, FX, Super Ghouls and Ghosts, Super Mario World, Super Metroid, Super Soccer, and The Legend of Zelda, A Link to the Past.
Best Zelda game ever!
I don't know about you, they've pretty much taken all the games I wanted on SNES and released them in one hit. So I'm good. I'm good.
This makes me feel a lot less bad about not being able to have bagged one of the Super Nintendo mini consoles. And, oh, there's so much good stuff here.
There is. And I'm really happy as well that, because one of the big rumors was, because Nintendo were kind of shopping around going, hey, you're sending out these surveys going, if we had tiered versions of the Nintendo Switch Online service, what would you want included in that tiered service? And I was getting worried that we're going to be paying like extra money a month to be getting SNES games, which we're not. That's going to be great. We're just getting SNES games. I'm happy with that.
Is it not bundled? Isn't this part of the Switch Online stuff, though? So essentially, because to be blunt, the multiplayer offerings on Switch, not that voluminous. So essentially, this is paying a very small amount of money per year, relatively speaking.
Mm.
Frankly, I pay the yearly subscription just for all these.
Well, yeah, you could pay the yearly subscription. Well, try pick up all of these games on cartridge. You're going to be spending a lot more than the yearly subscription. I can tell you that now, as someone who used to collect control cartridges myself. But yeah, it's great news. SNES games on the Nintendo Switch Online service. Looking forward to more stuff getting added now. I'm one of the few people that actually does go through the old games and like, I use Dr. Mario on the tube all the time. I do like the service. Mm-hmm. It's really good. And my girlfriend uses it a lot for like old platforms and stuff. So, yay, more of those. I'm happy with that.
Huzzah!
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 Now, jumping through the agenda, because I've done it in kind of a weird order, and I will rattle off a few of these quickly, and we'll do a few of these in more detail. But so kicking off, so Xenoblade Chronicles Definitive Edition, that's been announced for the Switch. I believe this was the Wii game in 2012 mm-hmm. that came out. That is now going to be on the Switch next year in 2020. We don't know what improvements are being made to the game, if any. I'd assume a nice little HD polish. But other than that, we don't have a concrete release date or any details of any kind. Other than that, Xenoblade Chronicles Definitive Edition is coming to the Switch.
Excellent.
Assassin's Creed Rebel Collection is coming to the Nintendo Switch also. That is a collection of Assassin's Creed Black Flag and Assassin's Creed Rogue, which...
Ooh.
Yeah, I like that idea. Rogue was the... So this was...
That the Rogue was the one that appeared on the Vita, was it?
No,
it's not.
No, right. Rogue was... There was an idea when we were going multi-generational with the Assassin's Creed games, rather than do what they did with Black Flag and make a game that was suitable on both the current gen and previous gen, they made Unity, which was available for you remember how well that launched, PS4, PC, and Xbox One, and then Rogue was exclusive to the Xbox 360 and PS3. And I'm not sure if that's actually released on the PS4 or the Xbox One since.
The Wikipedia page, which is the source of all truth, does state that it has been out on the PS4 and the Xbox One. Yeah, there we go. A remastered version was released for PS4 and Xbox One on March 20th, 2018.
Because at the time, Ubisoft would say some things and not really back them up. So when they went... Because essentially, Rogue is Assassin's Creed Black Flag reskinned into a new game. But I didn't pick it up because I went, well, I didn't enjoy Unity, and Rogue is probably going to come to the current gen at some point anyway. And I thought it happened in like a few months, and it didn't come out for a good couple of years, I don't think. So there we go.
Yeah, to be honest, it completely passed me by.
Yeah. But anyway, those will come bundled in with all the DLC, new touch controls, motion aiming, and that is going to release, I believe, sometime next year. Again, didn't get any date on that one. Also, Jedi Outcast and Jedi Academy, they are re-releases coming to not just Switch, but also PlayStation 4, because there seems to be some kind of weird exclusivity deal where all retro games of a Star Wars nature must come to the PlayStation 4 for some reason. But
try and think why that might be. I'm sure there's an exceptionally good reason.
They released some kind of Jedi Dark Side flipping PlayStation 4 special edition, and it came with all the retro games digitally bundled on there that were available at the time. Anyway, I don't know if you played any of these. I played I played Jedi Academy. That was the one where you were just a dude with a gun, and then at some point you pick up a lightsaber, and then turns out you were a Jedi all along.
Whoa, yeah. Who would have thought?
Craziness.
I used to play that. Those crazy, crazy Jedis.
Used to play those on the PC. I don't see myself coming back to them to play them on the Switch, though.
I think I did play Jedi Knight 2. I think. Yes, I'm fairly certain I did.
Okay.
That is a cool story that I'm sure all of you were thrilled by.
It was lovely. Do you have time to tell it again?
I think I played Jedi Knight 2, the end.
Well done. So I believe Jedi Outcast is out now, and then I think Jedi Knight is coming out on the 24th of September, and Jedi Academy is coming out some point in 2020. Also, Doom 64 is getting its first re-release on the Switch. That will be the 22nd of November. I have no affinity for Doom 64 whatsoever, but they were acting like it was a big generations thing. I don't know.
Yeah, well, it was. So Doom 64 was a funny one because it wasn't a port of the original Doom. And in Doom canon, apparently it's considered the sequel to Doom 2.
The Doom canon is called a BFG.
Really?
Come on. That was good.
Really?
Come on,
really?
That was good. That
really
was good.
No! Really?
No!
Really?
Good. Sorry.
In the
Doom canon, BFG.
The BFG, let's call it.
Mm-hmm. That's a good joke, that. So,
yeah, it's a good joke. It is a fantastic joke. It had its fans. It was I think just because it was only on the N64, which was in a little bit of a strange place in the late 90s, I think. I mean, it's probably worth a go. I don't know. It's a thing. It ties up with the fact that they've released Doom 1 and Doom 2 on the modern platformage as well. So, yeah, hey, why not? Give it a go. Have it a look.
What is it, the 20th, 25th?
22nd of November.
Oh, no, the anniversary of Doom that we're currently in. Is that the 20th anniversary or the 25th anniversary?
It must be the 20th, actually. And I think it's more than that. It might be 25th.
I think that's right. But yeah, this is to coincide with that. They're doing all the re-releases of the Doom games and then plus the new Doom game coming out as well.
Isn't it bloody depressing that Doom came out over 25 bloody years ago? It makes me feel very old.
You are very old.
Yeah, thanks. There's a reason for that.
We're so close to death, Dan.
All right.
Whose hands are these? They're not mine. These hands are old.
Moving on, Coleman. Sorry.
I just wanted to say I have more of an affinity to the Duke Nukem 64 game, not through the single player, because the single player was basically just Duke Nukem.
Was it the boobies?
Well, no, Duke Nukem 64 had like all the nudity and the gore and stuff taken out, so it was just essentially Doom with no swearing and stuff. But the multiplayer.
And what did he say instead of "I'm gonna rip off your head and down your neck"?
I don't know. I can't remember. It was a while ago I played it. I remember playing the 4-player multiplayer stuff was pretty fun at the time.
That was good fun. That was good times.
Probably aged like arse now, but hey. Speaking of stuff that's aged like arse, did you ever play Deadly Premonition?
No, I managed to miss that, thankfully.
Okay, Deadly Premonition was a game that looked terrible when it came out, but when people played it, they went, hold on, this is Twin Peaks, the video game.
But no, it isn't, and I'm going to talk about that later.
Okay, but this turned out to be Twin Peaks, the video game, and people loved it, and it's become a cult classic, and if you've played it, great on you. If you didn't play it, now's your chance, because they've released Deadly Premonition Origins on the Switch right now, and that's to coincide with the sequel that's just been announced, Deadly Premonition 2, that's coming to the Switch.
What an original name.
Exactly. But yeah, this one's going to be developed by Rising Star Games. Sweary's still involved, so that's nice because everyone loves Sweary. That's going to come out sometime in 2020, and it looks to have that kind of still low-budget type Twin Peaks-y vibes about it, so I'm actually looking forward to that one. Divinity Original Sin 2 Definitive Edition, that is a surprise launch on the Switch.
And such a good fit for the Switch.
Yeah, I played this... I played an Xbox One X build a little while ago when Bandai Namco were showing it off, and I went, wow, I'm really into this game, but I know I just don't have the time to sit down and play this. If only it was available on the move, and they must have listened to that podcast and just put it out.
Because we are what dictates the cadence of video games.
Yeah, exactly. You got to put more faith in us, Dan.
All right, okay.
That's exactly what happened, and it wasn't because the Nintendo Switch has sold a lot of units and now can sell lots of games in turn, but anyway.
Unit.
Yeah. Divinity Original Sin 2 Definitive Edition, I believe that is right now available on the Switch, and you can use cloud saves to swap your saves between Steam and Switch versions of the game, which is...
Really?
Yeah, really good.
Ooh! As an owner of the PC version, that's quite exciting.
I think that's incentive for Dan.
Incentive for Dan.
Incentive
Dan
for Dan.
Dan is incentivized.
Hash FE was a Wii U title that was released some point in 2016. That's now going to be re-released on the 17th of January 2020. If you don't know what Tokyo Mirage Sessions Hash FE Encore is, it's a mix between...
I mean, just the name is amazing.
Yeah, it's a mixture between the worlds of Shin Megami Tensei and Fire Emblem, and I believe those people have some fans. So that's worth picking up if you're a fan of those things, I believe.
Excellent.
If I remember correctly from podcasts of the time, it's more Shin Megami Tensei inspired than it is Fire Emblem. So there's a new game from the Pokemon developer Game Freak. It's an upcoming RPG called Little Town Hero. That's coming out on the 16th of October. Looks cute. You play a little character. One day a monster invades the town. You have to take down the monster. And then more monsters come. And you have to go around and work with townspeople and fight monsters. And the style of the game looks really nice. I might be picking this one up depending on price.
Well, that just sounds like a normal Wednesday to me.
Yeah. I've got time for Game Freak. Their titles outside Pokemon don't really get the recognition they deserve, I find. Also, out yesterday as podcast released, out even further in the past as you are listening on a different day maybe. Banjo-Kazooie, they have been released as a single DLC character for Super Smash Bros. Ultimate.
Excellent.
Picked that up, gave it a quick go, can confirm. Banjo-Kazooie, really fun characters. Really good for the kind of open levels rather than the short, compacted ones, because there are some really cool kind of running attacks that work really well. But fun character, did like them. Also, there's a bunch of new stuff that have been released for the autumn update, so new costumes and things, including a Sans costume for your Mii Gunner that I instantly went for.
Well, I have to admit, I've kind of fallen off the bandwagon with Super Smash. I do have it.
I
don't know whether or not it's just because I kind of missed the zeitgeist of it the first time around, or just it's kind of passed me by. I should probably get back into it.
See, I'm now in my renaissance period with this game because I finished the Spirit Board RPG type thing before. I've done all those challenges now. Mm. And that's when I stopped playing. I went, I have completed Smash Brothers. I haven't. There's loads to do in Smash Brothers. I've unlocked all the characters, and then I just stopped. But as new characters are coming out, now I'm going through all the arcade modes, and those are some fun games. I love that you can just fight a monster from Monster Hunter. That's a great idea. Like, a lot of the random bosses are really, really cool. But yeah, that game's really good.
But even more randomly, what, Terry Bogard is coming to Super Smash? What?
So this is, I think this is the second Fatal Fury character we've seen appear in games over the last few years, because Geese Howard was added over to Tekken 7. I think that was last year or the year before, who's a really, really good fighter. I don't know much about Fatal Fury because that was on the Neo Geo. I did like the little video they did to announce the new character because it was all done in the style of the kind of game engine, and they did the startup for the Neo Geo, which reminded me of about being around rich kids' houses when I was younger. And yeah, new character, Fatal Fury character, Terry Bogard. If you know who that is, be excited. If you don't know who that is, I mean, it's a new character, be excited. But the cool thing as well, that's the fourth character in the current lineup of DLC fighters, and they originally announced there was only going to be five. Apparently there's going to be more coming after the first five now. So, yay, more characters.
Yay!
Who do you want to see in Smash Brothers, Dan?
Who do I want to see in Smash Brothers? Who do I want to see?
Yeah, for a guest character.
Timmy Mallett. I would like Timmy Mallett as my Super Smash character.
Timmy Mallett.
Timmy Mallett.
Okay, I'm going for a serious answer because video games. I would like Leisure Suit Larry. Good. And I will leave that to your imagination what the Super Smash move is going to be.
It'll be big, tell you that much.
Yeah. Luigi's Mansion 3, I believe you and Tim are both excited for this game.
I am indeed excited.
They went through some of the floor, because this one's now not set in a mansion, it's set in a hotel. It's a very tall hotel with lots and lots of different floors and suites and things.
Hotel's a gussied up mansion, I think it works.
Hotel's a gussied up mansion, Dan Gibbons, 2019.
Same way that Gammon is just gussied up Ham.
Gussied up Ham, I remember. There was an animation about it and everything.
There certainly was. You should go and look at that, dear people, on the intertubes.
So anyway, there are going to be a bunch of new floors that are themed, including like garden suites, tomb suites, a kind of pirate ghost ship themed restaurant. It looks... yeah.
That's just the best collection of words.
Cool stuff. But also there's going to be a new Scream Park mode that is a 2-8 player game that pits off a team of Luigis against a team of Gooigis.
Oh no, I'm so glad Tim... Actually, no, it's you who's got the thing for Gooigi, isn't it?
That's me. Also, by the way, on BigRedBarrel.com at the moment, we have an article up about how Gooigi is the video game hero that we all deserve. So that it's kind of like a score attack
no,
mode.
No, he's not the one we... He's not the one... Well, actually, no, I think he probably is actually is the one we deserve, bearing in mind how much just generally real life has gone into hell in a handbasket these days, but never mind.
Gooigi is the Rorschach of video game superheroes, I think.
Really?
Yes.
As sociopathic as Rorschach. And I looked down upon him and I said, goo.
Goo. Well, no, he's like, you think you're safe behind the bars, and then he goos his way through and he goes, you think I'm locked in here with you? You're trapped in here with me!
With me.
Score attack. Score attack between 2-8 players. Take down loads of ghosts, build up score. That's how you become a winner. A winner is you. Luigi's Mansion 3. That comes out on the 31st of October. Timely.
That makes me excited.
Good.
Good.
Also, Super Kirby Clash. That is a free-to-start game. They were very specifically mentioning that. Four-player Kirby Crash game. You go.
Technically, someone else's car is free-to-start.
Exactly. You wouldn't
just saying, just putting that out there.
You wouldn't download a car, Dan.
This is true.
No, but I did download Super Kirby Clash, but it just finished downloading as we were about to record, so I didn't get to give it a quick go before we started.
Well, I was just downloading Gears 5.
Very different games. But
very different games.
But with local and online co-op, so there we go.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll have a quick mention of Gears of War in just a second, because the last thing to announce is Overwatch is available, well, going to be available on the Nintendo Switch just in time as people have stopped playing it on October the 15th. So I'm assuming you at home, you can play Overwatch as normal Overwatch, but when you are out and about, I assume you do bot modes and farm for loot boxes and stuff.
I would have thought so. I mean, is crossplay on this as well? Is it PC? Crossplay?
I don't think they mentioned that, and I went through the article afterwards to see if I could find something on that, but they did say that there's improved controls, and like they put motion and touch controls in there. For instance, if you're a Junkrat and you're doing that spinny ball move, they showed you could tilt the Switch to move side to side. That might interest someone. I am not an Overwatch player.
Yeah, I have to admit, it's slightly passed me by, I have to say.
I tried it. I didn't pay. I think this is going to launch at £30 in the UK. Again, I picked this up for £5, got my half an hour trying of it, and went, this isn't for me.
I suck at these games. Yeah.
It was quite funny as well, because there was an announcement that there was a leak that something Overwatch was happening with the Switch, and that Blizzard were doing something with a Nintendo Direct. And also there was a leak that something was going to be... There was a new Super Smash Bros. Character being announced. So instantly everyone thought Tracer was coming to Smash Bros. And I personally, who hates the voice of Tracer, was going, please don't put Tracer in Smash Bros. I like playing that game, and I want to continue liking that game.
I mean, the first time I heard Tracer, I was like, it's a British girl, that's lovely. And then I was like, no, that really makes me want to stab my ears out with a spoon. Such is my revulsion of the voice acting work on that. But hey, that's just me. Not that I'm a grumpy old man or anything.
I want to quickly say, because you mentioned Gears of War 5, and I didn't put this on the agenda, but I wanted to mention it quickly, because they're doing some weird tie-ins with Gears of War 5, with the Ultimate Edition, which with the Xbox Game Pass, you get Gears of War 5, obviously. But if
and
you
that's
get
exactly how I got Gears of War 5.
But if you get Game Pass Ultimate, you get the Ultimate Edition, which is a really good idea.
Yes, well, actually, well, that's the because Ultimate's the one with the PC goodness on, so I have the Ultimate one.
Oh, that's good. So they've announced some weird tie-ins. So if you got the Ultimate Edition, you get the Terminator. Is it Dark Fate, the new movie?
Yes.
Yeah, so they have a tie-in, Sarah Connor. Yeah, no Arnold. He's reserved for Mortal Kombat, I believe. But you get the T-800 endoskeleton thing, and then you've got Sarah Connor. You've also got two characters from Halo Reach as well in there. And then announced this week, Dave Bautista is coming to Gears of War.
Amazing.
Which is something apparently I was reading through the article. Apparently, he's a massive fan of Gears of War, and he's been lobbying to be put in the game for such a long time. And when they got to 5, they're like, all right, Dave, you can come in. If you don't
in
know,
you come, mate.
If you don't know, Dave Bautista, former WWE wrestler, now retired, former MMA fighter, but also Drax the Destroyer in the Marvel films.
Who's one of my favourite characters in the Marvel films, I have to say.
Yeah, liked him in the first one.
A lot of time for Drax.
I liked him in the first one, not so much the second one. I like all that literal stuff. And they didn't really do that in the second one. But that's neither here nor there.
I tell you what, though. I was secretly hoping that the surprise reveal of the bonus character was going to be Timmy Mallett in Gears of War.
There you go. Put Dave Bautista in Super Smash Brothers. I'll play that. Anyway, Dan, how would you like your points interested?
I would very much like them. I would like them probably somewhere between turgid and goo-like.
Turgid and goo-like. Well, I'll tell you what, because I forgot to reorganize this in a correct manner, this is going to be a weird one for me to run through, but continue on from last week, Blizzard Entertainment, they were suing Scena Games, who have now, as a result of this, it looks like, taken down their game, Glorious Saga, offline, which I believe was an iOS title, which contained a lot of assets from World of Warcraft, and they went to sue them for something like $15 million. They put up an update on the Facebook page for Glorious Saga saying, due to reasons beyond our control, we are going to be taking the game offline from August the 29th. Said nothing about the lawsuit whatsoever.
So, due to the fact we're having our nutsacks sued off us at the moment, we're not going to be able to.
The full might of Blizzard Activision is coming after us. Homeworld 3, that's been announced. Gearbox Publishing and Blackbird Interactive, they are doing a sequel to 2003's Space RTS Homeworld 2. It's currently up on fig.com. I think it has 24 days left of backing at this time. But fig.com isn't like Kickstarter. You've got to really put money towards that game. I think the entry bids are like $500.
Wow.
Yeah. But I think it's coming whether it gets funded on that or not.
That's wowza. Okay. Still a lot of money, though.
Yeah, but Fig's meant to be a proper investment platform, not like Kickstarter, where you just donate money and you might get a prize out of it if it's successful or not. Plants vs. Zombies Battle for Neighborville, which we spoke about a little while ago. There was rumblings this game might be getting a surprise release. It did get a surprise release. It won't actually be available till October the 18th, but there is a beta out at the moment that's going to run until September the 30th. And if you go get the Founders Edition of the game, if you've not, I think they picked all the stuff privately through like EA Access memberships and stuff. If you're not picked to be in the beta at the moment and you really, really want to go try this game, the Founders Edition will allow you entry into it. I say don't do that. Wait till the actual game comes out.
I would agree.
Yeah. Stuff buying games to get yourself into a beta. I think that is a con.
Mm-hmm.
Puzzle Quest HD Remaster. I've not heard of this before. It's meant to be like a kind of dual puzzle game RPG. But that's getting a HD re-release on the Nintendo Switch, which will be on the 19th of September. And lastly, there was an anti-RPG, as it's called, on the PlayStation 1.
A BFG, Moon. If you will.
A BFG, if you will. Onion Games, they brought out a title on the PlayStation 1 called Moon. It was a cult classic, so cult classic that I've never heard of it, and I know a lot of really obscure games.
That's how you know it's a real cult classic.
Yeah, it was only released in Japanese as well back in 1997 by Love Delic, and that is a great name, by the way. Love Delic. So Onion Games are now going to be re-releasing that game in English for the first time. On Switch later this year. We don't have a definitive date yet, though.
Fair enough.
Yeah, and that is all those points of interest. And all the news, in fact. We've done all of it.
Tim looks like he might be lurking.
Yes, so Tim's back. We're gonna go and get Tim and put in what we done played and talk to Tim about that, because I think he's the only one with stuff to talk about.
No, nope, I've got something to talk about.
Yes, but you're retreading on something I spoke about last week, so Tim's got new stuff to talk about.
Boo.
Which means we've got another 4 hours left of this show. What noise can I put in? Can I put in like a clip of Batista?
Mallet's Mallet, please.
Mallet's Mallet, all right. And then Batista.
Yep.
Cool. After this.
So anyway, it looks like we're going to be able to do this podcast in record time because Tim's not here and he doesn't mean he's got 5 million go.
Tim is back and you're going to be in trouble. Hey now, Tim is back.
I mean, hi Tim, really good to see you, mate.
Yay.
How you doing?
Yeah, all good, generally.
Tim,
yeah?
We sent you on assignment. How did that go?
Badly.
tell us about it, Tim.
Well, basically, I was supposed to have the afternoon off, go to Namco Bandai HQ and go have some fun and play some games. Unfortunately, right. I'm too busy to be taking time off at the moment.
I wish I was as important grown up as you, Tim.
As in, I probably may have to work a good chunk of the weekend as it is, so no time off for Tim this afternoon.
Aww.
But luckily your laptop gained sentience and made its way to Bandai Namco.
Fortunately,
well done, sentient laptop.
With some assistance of BRB's very own Rick. Yeah, and hopefully we'll have him along next week to possibly talk about that.
That's a good idea.
About how he broke your laptop or about the event?
Hopefully both. Partly one because of the other. But anyway, you guys have covered the news. You've covered the Nintendo Direct as well, generally.
Yep.
I had to say him.
Wait. Yeah. You forgot to do something, the polite thing. Okay. As we just mentioned his name, Rick LaFarre,
yep.
One of the hosts of the Comics Inc. podcast, our comic book podcast on BigRedBarrel.com. Maybe go look that one up. All right, continue.
Right. I will do so. But yeah, just going to say, some of the things didn't necessarily hit for me, but I thought it was generally a good and interesting direct. That's all I'll kind of overview on.
Pick a highlight, just one.
A highlight. Was it Timmy Mallet?
It's hard to not get excited about more stuff coming to Luigi Mansion 3 because I'm already really excited for that anyway.
Ooh.
But Deadly Premonition 2 had to be the biggest surprise. But for me, the personal biggest thing was the SNES games coming. Like that. Yes. That was.
Yeah. I think that's everyone's highlight, and that it's not going to cost us any extra.
Everyone's assumed that's definitely the case. We don't know that for sure at the moment, but
they're added today as the day we are recording.
Okay, I just had a look for them. I couldn't see them.
Yeah, they're not on there yet, but they're coming today at some point. Ooh. And they've not pre-warned us to go, we're going to charge you more money, by the way.
Yeah.
Enjoy these games while you can. We're going to take them off you.
Doesn't mean they're not going to do it in the future, of course.
No, they did it with internet.
It's a pretty good range of games to come out with to start with. And yeah, if they're not charging for those ones, you can't see them charging for other ones in the future. So that's good, because I didn't really care about the NES games as much. I'm much more... wanting to play some of the SNES generation, because that's something I played a lot more of.
I'm just excited to tell you all how wonderful Link to the Past is again, because that is the best Zelda game. Let me tell you a story about Link to the Past being the best Zelda game.
I would quite like them to add in Super Mario RPG, please.
Ooh, good shout.
We didn't get that in the UK, and I really liked that game when it finally came to the Wii, but I don't have my Wii anymore.
Having been a bit late for the news, I wanted to come along, though, because, yeah, I got a couple of real corking games to talk about. So, yeah.
Alrighty.
So, Tim, and especially because I'm really excited, because I need to know how this is. Astral Chain on the Switch. You has it. You're playing it. How is it?
It's hard to not overstate how much I love this game. Like, it's...
Okay, so we won't bother. Damn, right. Control. Let's go. No, all right, no. Go on then, Tim.
It's something I was really looking forward to. Like, I was still a bit iffy whether, especially when reviews started coming out between them, that I wasn't sure if I was going to get Control or Astral Chain. And I know both of you guys have covered Control, so I was like, okay, I'll definitely have a bit more of a look at Astral Chain then. I do like Platinum Games. This is the latest in their lineup. Previously having made games like Bayonetta, which I liked.
And super knee slidey game on the 360.
Yeah, and No Hair Witches, and sub in a kind of police detective where you're working for a sort of odd department that has these kind of legion things that are kind of robotic type counterparts that are linked to you via the titular Astral Chain.
Which is a literal chain.
Yeah, which is a literal chain. And it's one of those things where I think they came up with the mechanic before they necessarily... And then came up with the MacGuffin and everything else around it and how that worked with the world, possibly. But it works really well. Like, the actual kind of legion kind of adds to your powers. As I said, you're a policeman, and it kind of mixes in combat with a bit of kind of police detective procedurally type stuff. And, yeah... And then a kind of bit of exploration and environmental exploration added to that as well, basically. But
how does that work? Is it like Platinum hack and slashy game, and then all of a sudden those detective missions on Batman Arkham Knight?
Well, yeah, you've almost got like a I can't remember what they called it, but the Batman Vision thing in that. Detective mode. It's almost, yeah, it's a bit like that. You've got a mode, and they actually... It's one of those games where they use the plus button as one of the buttons, and that it's the button that turns that on and off, basically. But
that's the pause button.
Yeah, but to kind of pause it, you use the minus button, which brings up your like math.
Oh, my world's turned upside down. I can't take this.
It's broken Britain.
It's a slightly odd thing to get used to, but basically,
it's like when you put in Metal Gear Solid and you hit the X and you're like backwards, no, forwards.
Basically, it's got a... the slight issue that you had with the detective vision in that as well, which is you end up leaving it on the whole time and then not looking at the world's graphics, which generally looks quite pretty. For anyone who doesn't know, Astral Chain is a Switch exclusive. For some reason, people are review bombing it for that reason as well. Just really weird. Yeah, what? Really? What?
That's a reason and a half.
Like, that's the dumbest thing I've ever had. Anyway, right. But yeah, like, it's... basically, the kind of legions that you're joined up to with your Astral Chain also give you different abilities in combat, and also give you a different ability that you can use to explore some of the environment as well. So you're not just using the legions in combat, you're also you'll get them out to kind of get you around the environment. You can also do kind of different maneuvers with them. It depends on what legion you have, and as I said, there's different legions that have different powers. I've got 4 out of the 5 unlocked at the moment, basically.
I wish I was as cool as you.
You start off with the Sword Legion, which is generally just quite good at physical attacks. The next one you unlock is the Arrow Legion, which has more long-distance attacks. You then unlock... maybe I shouldn't go through the order of everything, but then you unlock
Legion Xavier,
different things
the son of Professor Xavier.
Allow you to kind of get to different parts of the environment you can get, couldn't get to before and stuff like that. But then, yeah, each kind of mission, as you asked about the kind of structure of things, basically at the start of every mission and stuff, you're generally in the kind of police station and you can go around there and buy different things and get different upgrades and just kind of prep yourself for the next mission. Do a bit of training if you want, do a few other things. There's usually a few like submissions in and around the police station that you can do between missions as well. But then, yeah, at the start of a mission, it typically puts you into a crime scene and you kind of investigate that crime using the kind of detective vision. It's quite good at like kind of... I can't remember what the code is. It's an acronym of ARIS, but I can't remember what it stands for. But it's something to do with, yeah, visual input or something. But yeah, like it that basically, as I said, that's the kind of the detective vision that shows you around the world, and you can kind of then use that to kind of interact with certain bits of the crime scene or just find key witnesses and then kind of talk to them, and that might lead to a conversation or a fight or something that kind of goes on. You can also kind of arrest people by kind of chaining them up and it's a general move that you can do in combat as well, where you can direct your legion to kind of encircle something and it will chain them to one place, and then you can both kind of combo on them. And it's kind of an odd combo system, like an odd combat system, where you can send the legion out and you can recall them back to you, but generally they're fighting, doing their own thing. You can also then get situations where you attacking leads you to do a move that you can then combo with your legion as well. So it kind of attacks on its own, but you can sort of do combinations with it. But then you can also kind of use it to get around the environment when you're exploring. And in combat, you can actually press a button to allow you to go to wherever it is, and you can move it to a different point. So you can use it to like jump a big gap in the environment. You can also use it to like dodge a massive distance out the way in combat as well. And you can also like pull your legion back to get out of combat.
For now.
But yeah, like the combat is your typical Platinum Games hack and slash, although this does feel a little bit different. Like the mechanic of having you in the legion does make it feel different to any of their games, I would say. Like it's enough of a different flavor that it plays a bit differently, and you have to get a little bit used to some of those differences. You're still doing like last minute dodges like you were in like Bayonetta that like slow down time a little bit for you and stuff like that. You can also do things where you kind of more directly equip your legion to you. For example, with the arrow, you can set it so that you can fire an arrow wherever you want to shoot, and you can slow down time a bit so that you can aim your shot. You can do a similar thing with the sword, but you get to choose the direction that you slash in. And then, yeah, there's just various other powers like that where you can more kind of directly interact with the actual thing. My favorite one of that is the beast one, where you can actually ride it around the environment as well, which is quite cool. But yeah, like it the structure of the game, like it just happens to work really nicely for me. I really like a Platinum Games hack and slash type game, and then I really like the kind of police detective stuff as well. Like those two things gel really nicely together. It does have an element of kind of the zany, crazy fun anime Japanese thing, which might not sit as well with some people, but I'm kind of used to that as part of the environment, and I kind of like and appreciate that. I think that's the one element that some people may bounce off a bit more if they don't have a particular appreciation or liking of anime. It's very much kind of anime characters and stuff like that. I would say, yeah, some of the presentation of the females in it is somewhat sexist, perhaps.
No!
And
really?
Don't believe you.
But again, in...
Have you not seen Bayonetta?
Yeah, in fairly atypical Japanese fashion, and I think you'd probably expect that from a Platinum Games. I'm just saying it doesn't fully excuse it. But yeah, like, generally, I'm really, really enjoying it, as in possibly my game of the year.
Ooh, that's some big words, Tim.
That's high praise.
Yeah, yeah, because there's been some great games that I've really liked this year. Like, it would have to continue at the same place as doing it, but it's one of those things where the levels are so big and there's so many different collectibles and different side missions and different bits going on that I don't feel that I have to do everything. I feel that it's made to play through in more than one playthrough. There's areas you can't get to until you've unlocked all the legions, like in the first level type of thing. So it's very much a game that's designed about playing it more than once, and I kind of intend to at this point. Like, that doesn't always happen with me. I end up playing something else for review, and that might get put to one side. But I'm really enjoying my first playthrough of the game, and not feeling the weight of having to do everything means that I can enjoy just doing the bits that I am, and then I feel that I can, you know, come back and complete it in the future as well. I'm guessing on the Platinum Games they'll have a new game plus option as well. So yeah, like, looking forward to that. So,
because some of the criticism that I heard about this game is that it was perhaps a bit too dumbed down from the usual Platinum Games archetype.
The one thing I will say is there is quite a lot of, like, you can buy a lot of health, you can find health in the environment, you can actually get the legions that heal you a bit if you put an auto heal as one of their upgrades. All of that, and at times can make the combat a bit simple, but it's all kind of done on a rating system as well. And, I've hit a couple of S or S pluses, but generally, like, a lot of the combat I do end up being a D, and I'm like, oh, okay then. But I think I should be doing, like, more combos in my life. And it kind of teaches you and pushes you to do a bit more. But there are ways to, like, cheese the way through levels and not really have to, like, some of the boss battles you can literally just do at distance comfortably, take a bit longer than you would to do it otherwise, but do it without much threat. If that's a big problem for you, that's a big problem. But for me, it's like, okay, I could be doing it this way, and there's some levels where I'm like, oh, I did this thing, and that meant that I did the whole thing much quicker and much safer. I should have done that on that mission. And, like, you know, like, there's different, like, ways and means of doing things, and some of them are like, the first time through, you might not get the ideal outcome, and then you might know that for the future. And I don't know if that's something that doesn't sit well with people, but I quite like that in a game. Like, some people like the completest first run type thing. I don't mind that too much, kind of thing. I feel like I'm getting enough from the game and seeing that enough variety that it adds more to it, kind of thing. But yeah, like, as I said, it's hit the right notes for me in terms of, like, a gameplay style that I like, with a genre that I like, with a story that I'm finding interesting and compelling, and the characters that I'm kind of getting on with as well. So, yeah, but, like, as I said, really enjoyed it, and I do recommend it. The one thing I've heard, and I didn't get a chance to play, I was going to try and play the co-op, but I did watch a bit of the, I think, Giant Bomb video, because they're actually at a similar point that I was, like, a day or so ago with it, basically. So I wasn't going to spoil anything by watching what they were doing, basically. But then they tried a bit of the co-op, and it seemed a bit clunky and a bit hard to get your head round. It might take a bit to get
used
to.
On the Switch, say it ain't so.
But, well, it's also, you're using an individual Joy-Con thing, and there doesn't seem to be an option to do a better option than that, basically. I'm not sure if that's necessarily the case, or just the way they were doing it and the way they had it set up, but it did seem to be a bit weird in terms of, oh, one person has control of the camera, okay?
Whoa.
Yeah, exactly, and all a bit weird. But but yeah, like, I think if you're not bothered about the co-op, it's a really good single player game. I've really been in, even though you've got like you and the Legion, it seems like it would lend itself to co-op. I can't see how that works playing through the whole game, because there's times where I just put my Legion away because it's easier to walk around, sort of thing.
Well, you should put your Legion away in public, mate.
He always should. Make sure he's not poking out, because it can cause all kinds of trouble if he's doing that.
So you say, like, so far this is one of your favourite games of the year. I'd be really interested to see how that's going to stack up at the end of the year, because we've still got a lot of really good games to come. And you got to remember, Tim, like, there's the juggernaut round the corner. We've got WWE 2K20 coming out.
Destiny 2 Shadowkeep as well. That's game
Destiny
of the year.
2 Shadowkeep.
I'll gloss over that completely, but I mean, Luigi's Mansion 3, we've already mentioned this week, and that's going to be a strong... That's going to have to be knocked off its perch that it's already on, I think, possibly for me. But Astral Chain is shaping up to be a strong contender already, because I really like it and really, really enjoyed it. But it's been a really good couple of weeks for me, because I've quite enjoyed the other game we're going to talk about this week quite a lot, and I really enjoyed the games that I played last week. So yeah, I've been on a good run of playing really good stuff at the moment. So yeah, really enjoying it.
Well, this one I'm going to talk about very briefly, because you talked about Control last week, didn't you, Coleman?
Because I played it last week, and I'm still playing it now. Yes, but now I'm kind of balancing Control with Devil May Cry 5, because that's come to Game Pass. But yeah, let's talk more Control.
More Control. So how far through are you?
I have 4 gun switchy things.
Right.
And lots of powers.
Okay. Have you met a bald man?
I have met a bald man.
You have met a bald man.
I turned the game off, and then the reflection of the screen, I had met a bald man.
Different bald man.
Ah, damn it. Yes, no, I know what you mean.
Yes, so I'm playing on PC.
Good.
Because why wouldn't I?
Because you wanted, you went, wow, that's a lot of reports of problems on the PC. I need to get in on that action.
I need something to be grumpy about.
I need to get in on the ground floor, baby.
Exactly. So much like you do in the game, actually. Yeah, so I'm quite enjoying it. I think the combat is its weakest point.
Yeah? I've heard the combat's very enjoyable from a lot of people.
It is enjoyable, but I actually find the kind of the world building they're doing around you more engaging. I kind of feel like I'm more impatient to get to the next story beat than go, oh, yay, things to throw at things. And there's one or two boss encounters that do feel a little bit cheap. That's not to say the combat is bad, but I just think it's outshone by other bits of the game. So I'm probably about 2/3 the way through, I think. Enjoying it so far. The main reason I wanted to pick up on PC was so I could lord all of the path tracing RTX goodness in front of you.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Now.
That's the sound of me jealous, by the way. Silence.
Wow, it looks really nice with all that on. However, it does slightly underline the fact that the current iteration of GPUs aren't quite there yet to make this, I think, a mainstream technology. Now, I've got a 1440p monitor, but I'm using NVIDIA's DLSS, which is a fancy upscaling-y thingy-bobby / anti-aliasing solution. And
down low sandwich. Yeah.
Yeah, I know, right? Double-layered soup sandwich, yes.
That's right.
Yeah.
Delicious.
Love that soup sandwich. And I'm dipping sub 60 frames a second.
Oh.
With all the bells and whistles on, apart from volumetric lighting and medium, because you've just got to compromise somewhere, haven't you? I don't know. I'm not even 100% sure volumetric lighting is that noticeable. But there we go. I'm sure it is, actually. I'm just talking rubbish.
You'd notice if it was gone in the real world, Dan.
I know, right? One of the things, because it is so computationally expensive doing essentially real-time ray tracing, although it's path tracing, fair enough, subtle difference, that there are corners they cut. So it's not like, say, in a 3D rendered movie where absolutely everything is ray traced and you get that very realistic sense of lighting, kind of indirect shadows and highlights bouncing off objects onto other objects. You do get some of that, but because it has to be rendered as quickly as possible, they have to kind of denoise it, so there's not a full saturation of kind of these lighting paths being traced. So you do get some slightly weird artifacts in dark areas where, like, the walls will look mottled for a bit, and then a quarter of a second later, they'll sort themselves out.
Yes, that's called the PlayStation 4 regular version problem.
Oh, excellent. Brilliant. I'm glad it's got a highfalutin name.
yes. It's very catchy.
Yeah, it is. Almost like launch Double Wave Soup Sandwich. That's also a catchy name. Yeah.
It's launch PS4 problems. Damn it.
but I mean that's really nitpicking, to be fair. I mean, when it does hit home, the RTX effects, wow, do they increase your sense of immersion in the game world. It's like actual proper reflections that work properly, not like the kind of fudgy cube mapped things that you see in most games. It's a subtle effect, but it really, really, really improves the sense of being there in the game immeasurably. It's a fantastic effect. And it's like little things like, let's say there was a chair in the world with chrome legs. You actually see your reflection in the legs of the chair.
Oof.
It's just little sexy, subtle things like that that really, really do just kind of make it pop that little bit more. But, you know, obviously that's a PC thing at the moment. If rumors are to be believed, path tracing is going to be coming to next-gen consoles. So
you say rumors. I think you mean spec sheet from PlayStation itself.
Well, no, there is, but there's more going to be more than one next gen console. There is also Microsoft as well. I'd imagine they're trying to find a way to probably get path tracing on as well. But I mean, I'm having a good time with the game. I'm really liking the world in which it exists. And I'm, you know, some minor boss fight grumbles aside, I'm pretty much enjoying everything it throws at me.
I mean, I think the best thing they did with Control is Remedy have spoken about this recently, where they've done some really, really good work in making the world and then building the game working out what the game is in the world. And the whole idea is that future DLCs and stories set within that world of Remedy aren't necessarily a third-person game with a morphing gun and psychic powers, but you could have a completely different type of game, different character within that same world. So I really like that idea. And it just goes to show, like, when you've put this much work into... Because, I mean, with the amount... We spoke about this last week with Quantum Break with the...
David Cash.
Amount of, yeah, David Cash. With Quantum Break and the amount of work they did into powers and the TV elements and the look of the game and, like, all this kind of stuff, but it didn't quite mesh together. When you take out all these gimmicks in the game and you just go, right, we need to work on a surrounding, a world. We're going to do that first, the lore. Okay, now we're going to place the story in this. Is it going to work? Yes, it is. Now let's just make a fun mechanic and stick with it. And it really, really paid off.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think it's one of the most cohesive game worlds I've experienced in terms of the way it just feels right. It doesn't feel tacked on in any way. And I really, really like the little nods to other Remedy titles.
Yes. So many alumni from previous games in that game.
But also, like, referencing events in Alan Wake.
Yes.
Do you have to find batteries at any point?
No, thank God. Although I have had to cleanse Japanese paper lantern.
I do like that. I said it last week. It is the actor that played Alan Wake who plays the lead scientist in that game.
Yeah.
That's brilliant.
It's so good.
It's funny. But Control's a banger. Go play Control.
Yep.
Or go play Astral Chain. They're like two really good games that came out this month.
And you ain't got long till a whole load of other good games are turning up on your doorstep either. So
also, by the way, before we get to the next game, PlayStation Plus this month, they added in Batman Arkham Knight.
Really?
Which, again.
And Darksiders 3.
Yes, and Darksiders 3. But which, by the way, I didn't know that was out.
Yeah. I've forgotten that. I have been released. But anyway.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't know it had been released. It was so quiet. I I have a physical copy of Batman Arkham Knight, and I do like downsizing my physical games, so I'm really happy that they put that on digital.
Nice.
All right, so Tim, you've got Erica, mm-hmm. I've got Erica.
Ooh.
I have yet to play Erica.
Oh, okay.
So you have to tell me about Erica without spoiling Erica
for
me.
Play
I think
Erica.
I've said Erica enough times.
Definitely.
Give me the premise. What is Erica the game?
No. I want a review of Erica the person. I want you both to give me a review of at least one person you know called Erica.
No, that comes later.
Yes.
Right.
That's the bonus content on the app.
Right.
Right, well, anyone doesn't know, it's from the creators of Her Story, which was a very well-received FMV game previously. I didn't play that one. It got a lot of plaudits and stuff, and people really liked it, but I didn't actually play it myself. But it made me extra keen when...
Gosport represent.
It made me extra keen, yes, because wasn't it filmed in Gosport?
Police Station.
Police Station, you said previously.
I have sat in that interview
for
room.
People that, well, really?
Whoa, on which side of the table, Colin?
School trip, shut up.
Right.
They're trying to scare you straight, yeah? but yeah, like, anyone doesn't know, yeah, it's kind of another FMV game, kind of taking some cues from that, as I imagine, and kind of moving on. So I was extra interested to actually get on board at the early stage on this one.
FMV, filthy marital vignette.
That's
the
one.
Full motion video for anyone that doesn't know. But there was a stage like many years ago where like this was claimed to be, this is the way that all video games are going to be made in the future. This is the future of video games. All for
Didn't
game-
they say that circa 1980 something with Dragon's Lair?
And then we got
like
Night Trap and Mad Dog McCree, and that was about it.
And that's why thanks to full motion video, that is why the Sega CD is the greatest selling console of all time.
But I think her story kind of helped bring it back to attention. But I would say that from what I've seen of Erica, this is like a benchmark in why FMV might become more relevant in the future of gaming again, basically.
So it's taking all the hard work that the last Fast and Furious game did. Need for Speed game did. Well, they're interchangeable. The last Need for Speed game did and thrown it out the window and did it properly.
Yes. If that's the way you want to go with it, yes. But basically, it's a really nicely, and I think part of the thing I like about it is the way they kind of blend from scene to scene and from like choice to choice. Like, there's for me, one of the things I spoke about last week with the Until Dawn successor, Man of Medan, was basically.
Dan.
Yes. We couldn't do that joke without you, Dan, last week. Where were you last week? Anyway. But yeah, that is very cinematic in its presentation. And so I sometimes feel like I'm breaking that cinematic nature and presentation of that by mismanaging my way through the game. Like, if you bump into a wall, that shouldn't have happened, almost, kind of thing. That doesn't happen in a movie, shouldn't happen here. Like, this is a much more indirect control, but it manages to maintain that cinematic level of presentation because of that kind of thing. And as I said, the blending methods, like, you've got one point where you're choosing one of three directions you can possibly go in, and when you, like, move in that direction, like, it moves her character on screen to face that way, kind of thing. So it kind of it feels like a more natural progression. Also, for anyone that doesn't know, this is all controlled on your phone rather than through a controller. It does say that you can play it with the touchpad of the PS4. I've been playing on PS4, but generally it says it's better to play it with a smartphone. So you can download an app for free and you use that to interact with it. It then uses that to do like a lot of gesticular motions that kind of
testicular what?
Gesticular motions.
Oh, sorry.
not testicular. But that kind of marry up with what's going on screen. So
it comes back to the filthy marital vignette.
The first thing it does that won't really spoil anything, you're kind of lighting a Zippo lighter by like flicking up on the screen to flick it open and then flicking down to flick the flint. And then, yeah, that enables you to then light something in the environment and stuff like that. I'm going to completely sidestep talking about any of the story elements other than kind of an overview type things. The one thing I would say is the acting is good but not great and shows up in parts. There's a couple of points where I'd be like, it'd be nicer as a slightly better actor playing this role. But generally, like, the story and the presentation and that side of things is all really well done, all really interesting, kind of gripping story. It's not the longest game. I only think possibly like just a couple of hours almost kind of thing, but it's only like £9-10. And it is replayable because there's different decisions and choices you can make and the way things go. And I really liked the way
I looked tonight.
The way I played through the story the first time, that everything played out. It worked nicely for me, kind of thing. I got to see what I got to see, and got things happened, and I just liked the way the story played out. But I do want to go back in and take a few different choices and see how they affect things and how that has a greater effect on things. I haven't done that too much with this. I'm in two minds as to whether I want to go in almost immediately while I still remember stuff, or whether I want to actually go in a bit fresh. And I'm not sure with that, as I've been a bit distracted with Astral Chain this week and really liking that. But I do want to go back and play it again. I played through it with my flatmate. We both really enjoyed it. It was both really good. So yeah, I can definitely recommend it. It's interesting from the perspective of being like an FMV thing. I think I mentioned last week this could almost be released on Netflix kind of idea. Like, it's got just the interactivity with your phone. You could have downloaded it. I find that really interesting that we're getting the kind of Bandersnatch on Netflix thing, and the kind of Playlink stuff and this kind of thing. It doesn't seem to have an actual Playlink thing. I think this was originally intended to be Playlink, but it's just a separate app basically, so I don't know if that they've abandoned Playlink in general. But I just do find it interesting that we're getting the walls between games and movies kind of tumbling down ever further all the time basically. But yeah, like I really enjoyed it. It's an easy recommendation for the price, and I think it's really interesting thing from a number of perspectives, from the story but also from the FMV presentation and how that works. And just it's an interesting thing for a gamer to observe as, okay, that they've done that and that works in this way, okay, that's interesting. Like, I found it a fascinating thing to watch. I think it's also a very easy thing to play with non-gamers. Like, they could just sit there and watch it with you while you do all the physical controls if they don't want to get involved at all. Or you can, you know, pass the phone between you and take it in turns. But yeah, like, nothing's really hard or, you know, really quick movements or anything. There's some decisions you need to make quick, an occasion you need to make them quickly. But yeah, there's nothing too taxing control wise generally. Interesting from a number of perspectives, and something I can recommend as well, basically. So yeah, as I said, I've been on a really good run of games in the last couple of weeks, basically. So yeah.
Anyway, Tim, Tuesday is Tuesday. It is the spam between the bread that is Monday and Wednesday.
If you choose to put spam in your sandwiches, in your weekly sandwiches, odd bread choices, then yes. Yes.
It's fine.
Yes.
So tell me what this week's spam has in store.
Let me announce the game. I want to do this one.
All right, okay.
Okay, so each and every week at Tabletop Tuesday, that is on a Tuesday at the Loading Bar in Dalston, London, we have, on the 10th of September, we have the featured game, Mind the Gap.
You just wanted to be able to say Mind the Gap, yeah?
Yeah, I just wanted to do that. That's my party piece.
Mind the Gap.
I can do a few voices, and one of them I do very well is Mind the Gap.
Can you do the Inspector Sands bit as well?
The what bit?
You never heard Inspector Sands.
Go on then.
It will Inspector Sands please come to the ticket hall, which is essentially one of the emergency announcements.
It's like Dr. Allcum or...
Oh.
What? Dr. What?
That's what they use in Johnny Mnemonic. You never seen Johnny Mnemonic with the psychic dolphins?
I haven't seen Johnny Mnemonic since I was about 12, maybe.
No, okay. Me neither. Dr. Allcum that's an unfortunate
Ward 7 name. Or whatever, but yeah.
Yeah. Anywho, so yeah, so that's like that. The Inspector Sands, blah blah blah. That's the secret underground code for, hey, shit's going down, maybe.
Oh, Anywho, we've got a game on Tabletop Tuesday. Tim's right. going to carry on because I just wanted to say mind the gap.
Yeah,
mind
anyone doesn't know, gap. Each and every Tuesday we have a different feature game. You can win that feature game just by playing it on a Tuesday. There are more details on...
What if I want to play on a Wednesday?
Then you can play by all means, but you don't get to win.
Oh.
There are more details on the top left-hand corner of bigredbarrel.com, or you can join over 1,800 members on our meetup group.
Spam.
Search for Tabletop Tuesday on meetup.com.
I knew there was a reason I had spam in my brain. It was meetup.
Oh, that's where the spam comes in, eh?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's Mind the Gap is a quick little card game. We had Ticket to Ride London last week, so we're continuing our little games around London theme. Although it'll be generally little games is our theme for the month. But yeah, also continuing the theme from last week to this week. But yeah, it looks like a fun, easy-to-play game for like 2 to 8 people about getting stuck around London. And who doesn't love getting stuck around London?
It's a lovely place to be.
Yeah. But yeah, should be an easy one to play and possibly win next week. I also have some bonus prizes.
Ooh.
Bonus prizes.
To the spam.
No spam.
Ooh.
No spam.
Ooh.
Goo.
No. Yes, what are these bonus prizes? You can't just tease us like that.
Yeah, I was slightly considering whether I was going to actually say so or not. Yeah.
Give us a hint.
No, I will. Yeah, we have...
A lap dance.
We have a number of issues of Tabletop Gaming Magazine to give away this week as well.
Oh. So thank you very much to them. That's more than a hint, Tim.
But that is
that's
more
just
than a
saying
hint.
What it is.
Yes.
If you like tabletop game, if you like tabletop gaming articles put together in a magazine, then you might like this prize.
God.
Yes.
Right. Well done, Tim.
Good.
Excellent.
I like it.
But that's also, and I should mention, they've also got a Tabletop Gaming Live, which is their event that's coming up at the end of the month at Alexandra Palace in North London. It's a really nice venue for a board game event because it gets loads of like natural light and up on a hill. It's quite cool. It's a
lovely venue.
But yeah, like it's a good venue for it and should be a good event. I think it's the last Saturday of September, but I think it's the 28th, 29th, I think it is. It might be the 29th, 30th. But anyway, it's the end of the month. And yeah, definitely worth going along to. There are more details on their website as well, basically.
And will you be there, Tim?
I am planning on being there on both days.
If that is not a reason to go pick up a ticket, I don't know what is.
Come play a game with me.
Let Tim take you by the hand and drag you to several different tabletop games that you don't particularly want to play, and then you too can live the life of Coleman.
Yeah. Have your ear talked off. Be talked at until such a degree that you want to remove your eardrum with a pencil. Come socialise with the Hibernator. Mr. November himself. Right. Are we done?
I would say yes. Sticking a fork in us, we are done.
Okay, so before we go, I would just like to do some shout-outs from the Twitter sphere. Ian Alexander Crane, that's right, I'm full naming you. Apparently regarding the Sub-Zero question last week, it was apparently covered in comics off camera. Cyborg Zero died with me.
Right, yep.
He was then resurrected by Kan-Chi.
Right.
As a revenant with a new body.
Right,
okay,
yes.
You're good. You mm-hmm. Comment, wake up with me.
Yep.
Okay, then Raiden uses his powers.
Raiden. Okay.
Okay. A guy with the wok for a hat uses his powers to make him normal again, plus he gets to keep the newly made body as a bonus.
The only thing that confuses me in all of that explanation, despite some of the
Raiden.
Other words being odder, is the normal Raiden. Again.
It's all relative, isn't it?
At what point was he normal? At what point has he been...
What do you mean when he's firing ice out of his hands?
Yeah, like I've never seen a normal Sub-Zero. Like, is he just a butcher? Yeah. Or, you know, like...
Well, you're clearly a mutinist, Tim.
Yeah, shame on you, Tim, for your prejudices.
I'm just saying, like...
No,
prejudices.
You did just say. Timothy.
You did just say.
But
anyway,
well,
he has
been dead at several stages as well. It's not like...
That, well, no, that's his brother. But anyway...
Shame on you, Timothy.
That answered my questions as to why is Sub-Zero a cyborg in the first in 9 and then a human again in 10.
Right.
Even though the process is meant to be irreversible, and it's because it all happened off screen.
Good.
And also from Twitter, I would also like to thank Andy Baines.
Hey, who messaged me saying what is control? To which I didn't. Is this a control reference? Is this is this because you haven't listened to the podcast?
Do you know,
yet?
Actually, was a really difficult thing to Google for a while. Control.
Mm. But yeah, so he wrote what is control. So I replied with I'll Alt do you delete. One better. Who is control?
Ooh, boom!
I'll do you another one better. Who is Gamora? Anyway, and on Facebook, thanks for Freya Goddard. That's all thanks the shout outs.
Excellent. Right, well, that's it. We've run far too long. Tim, congratulations. The bit where you appeared was as long as the rest of the show.
Yay!
Loved it.
Thank you for that.
That was my favourite bit.
Yeah. So we are going to disappear. So I suppose all that really is left for us to do is to remind you to head to bigredbarrel.com or twitter.com/bigredbarrel.
Do that too.
facebook.com/bigredbarrel.
Do that if you want.
And you should also click the Discord link on bigredbarrel.com and come say hello in our
Definitely
server.
Do that. Yes. Say hello to me. I'll
Hi,
answer.
Hi, Coleman.
Hi.
Hi.
That's exactly how you're meant to do it.
Yes, indeed. So that's your lot. Thank you for listening. And I have been Dan.
I might have been Tim.
And I have been very sorry.
As we all are. Oh, dear. Right. Well, whenever you damn well like, probably. Do you do that between stations just to freak people out?
Yeah, I do.
Good. Excellent. Brilliant.
I used to work on the till in Asda, and every now and then between objects, I just go boop.
Boop, boop.
Make them think that somebody's getting scanned that isn't.
Oi, you've already scanned that, mate.
Shut up.
Calm down. It's a pack of own brand Cheetos.
I'm a man on the edge, damn it.
Right, we're going now.
Okay, let's go.
We've
let's
had
go.
Enough.
It's actually sure, gone insane.
Coleman, to quote me from An Extra Life several years ago, it's your own time you're wasting, mate.
That's fair.
That is fair.
I'm sorry, everyone. Thank you for joining me in my journey into madness.
Yes, indeed. So we're going now.
Same time next week.
Indeed. Thank you for downloading us. We'll speak to you next week. And until next time, dear listeners, toodle-bye.
You and your ears are quite welcome
for the podcasting goodness that you just heard.
Why not roll on over
to BigRedBarrel.com
for more podcasts,
news, reviews, and videos from the biggest, reddest site on the internet, BigRedBarrel.com.
Are they downloading us or the show?
Both.
Don't download us.
You wouldn't download a podcaster.
You wouldn't download a. You wouldn't download a Coleman.